And if you don't want to move it, that's fine with me, but. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to be amongst, back with y'all today. And, you know, it's funny being at home or whatever, but I still feel like a visitor sometime. Now, I'm going to be mindful of the time, but it's 18 after. Okay? Remember that. All right. This morning, I'd like for you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I want to start in verse 12. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 says, put on. First two words of the verse is put on. So right off the bat, we have something to do, right? Too often time, primitive Baptists are labeled as the frozen chosen. You know, we've been rocked to sleep by the great or wonderful doctrines of grace. Now, there is rest in the doctrines of grace. I can rest and rest assured of the doctrines of grace. They feed my soul when I hear the old doctrines being preached. But that doesn't give us the license, if you will, to just sit on our still and do nothing. Right here it says to put on. Well, what do we need to be putting on? He says to put on, therefore, as the elect of God. As the elect of God. Not by putting this on, you become the elect of God. No, because you are the elect of God. It's in the past tense, right? Because you are. You have ownership of that. Because of the finished work of Christ. Remember those doctrines of grace, right? Because of that, we have. So he's put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people. And I think the Lord, well, I'm not going to say I think, because I know that He knows that. He's very well aware of our situation. And sometimes, I tell you, it's very hard to forgive somebody who's crossed our path. You know, think about that. Sometimes when we're in traffic, somebody cuts you off. Last thing on your mind is forgiveness, right? Let's be honest. Come on. I know it is with me. But Paul's reminding us here, as the elect of God, put on these bowels of mercy, kindness. This past Wednesday night, we heard a wonderful explanation of kindness. I'm not going to go through all of that because you go back and watch that video later. But it says, for as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. How merciful has the Lord been to us? How merciful has the Lord been to you this past week? And then in verse 13 where it says, forbearing one another. That's always a struggle. You know, that's the thing. You know, the church would be a perfect place if we didn't have people in it, right? Let's just be honest. If it didn't have a bunch of people, a bunch of sinners in it, right? That's a lot of times people say, well, I don't want to go to that church over there. It's full of sinners. Well, guess what? So is this one. So is that one. So is this one down the road. All the churches on this earth are full of sinners. But what kind of sinners are we going to be? Are we going to be active sinners? Are we going to try to put on these good things as the elect of God and try to show forth that we are the elect of God? And that's the thing about, you know, like a police officer, he puts on a uniform, you can identify him as a police officer. Or as a soldier, he has a uniform, you can identify him as that. Well, as the elect of God, there's things we need to be putting on. We need to be showing forth that. The Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, let your light so shine before men. He didn't say let it flicker. He didn't say to hide it. No, he said to let it shine. Don't hide it. Because if you're doing these things, if you're putting these things on, you will not be able to hide in this world. You know, sometimes people want to hide. Sometimes they just want to be, you know, left alone. They don't want to stir the pot. They don't want to be singled out. We have been called to be an influence in this world. And you cannot be an influence by sitting in the back all the time. You cannot be an influence by not letting your light shine. You cannot be an influence by not being seen or heard. So sometimes we're just going to have to step out of our comfort zone and do the Lord's work. Say, oh, preacher, that's what preachers are supposed to do. They're supposed to be doing all that. I'm just a member here. That it's for all of us now. It's for every one of us. But he says to put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind. That humbleness of mind right there is so very important. If we do not have the humbleness of mind that we need to, forbearing one another is going to be very difficult. You know, that's one of the things that the Lord told Moses, or wrote, I think in the book of Deuteronomy. He was talking about when Israel was to have a king. We're in the Deuteronomy. Your king ain't going to come around for a long time, but the Lord knew that, right? But he said when he's sitting upon the throne, what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to write him a copy of what? The law. And one of the reasons for that was so his heart wouldn't be lifted up above his brethren. You talking about the king? The one who's got supreme authority? Yes, even the king, the one, especially the one who is in authority, needs to hold that humbleness of mind. Because letting your light shine, being a good influence, being a wonderful example to those that are around you without that humbleness of mind, it's hard to do. Without the humbleness of mind, we can't get to these other things. He says, we've already talked about the forgiveness, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. In verse 14, and it says, above all these things. All right, when we hear above all these things, that's language. So, hey, listen up. Here it comes. And above all these things, put on, another put on, charity. Charity. Oh, is that thing where I just give a couple of coins when I go into Walmart or something like that? Well, you know, those are called charities, right? But this is the Bible definition of charity. Love in action. The kind of love that God has for his people. He is always actively working for his people. Always actively protecting us. Watching over us. That's how we're supposed to be to one another. Was it John 13:34? The Lord said, a new commandment I have given unto you. That you have love one to another. Right? Not just for another. I know it seems like this is a dead horse we keep whipping. But there's a difference. That you can have love for somebody, but never do anything. You can have love for somebody and never show it. But if you're having that love one to another, that's that love that you go up to somebody that's in church. You know they're going through a tough time. You know you may not have the right words to say. And if you don't have the right words to say, don't say anything at all. Just give them a big old hug or give them a big handshake. Pull them in close. Tell them something as I'm praying for you. That's what this church is supposed to be. The Lord knew what he was doing when he set up the church because this is a needful time for us. We all need this interaction. We have to have this time together. It's so imperative. And if the love goes out the door, then there goes the church with it. He says, above all these things, put on charity. Which is the bond of perfectness. The bond of perfectness. We as the elect of God have a bond. We're a family. Doesn't matter who your mom and daddy was or what family lineage you came from. We're a family of God.
I'm a child of the King. How often do I not act like it? How often have I come up wanting? I want to show forth that I'm one of His. Not so I can put my thumbs in my lapels, but because God loves me. You just remember that one thing. It doesn't matter what circumstances we're facing here in this life. You can have the worst consequences and unimaginable placed upon you. But because God loves us as the elect of God, we have something to be thankful for. We have something to praise Him for. Just remember that thief that was hanging on the cross. That man had minutes, maybe hours to live. An agonizing death, gasping for every breath. That man had some of the most comforting words given to him in his hour of need. You remember, he said, "When thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Today." Not maybe if you can find a preacher and get right with the Lord. Not maybe if you could find some water and be baptized. No, he told him, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Amen. And we have the same promise when we pass from this scene of this life that we'll awake in his presence. All the loved ones we've had that have gone on before, we see death, right? We see them breathe their last. We see them fade away. We see the color go from their face. But what they see, that's what we need to keep in mind. What they see and what they have seen. Because we have these promises, why would it be a difficult thing for us to put on these things? Having those beloved bowels of mercies. Be more merciful. Humbleness of mind. Being more humble-minded as we go about our day. Meekness. The world looks upon that as weakness. But no, meekness is very, very strong. Think about it this way. When Jesus was walking in his earthly ministry here on this earth, and people disagreed with him. People wanted to stone him. People wanted to kill him. He's got all power. He could have just simply snapped his fingers or just blinked and they would have poof, gone. Just think about it. If you had a millionth of that power, what would you do with it? I don't want to think about that because I know what I would do with it. But he was still came as a meek and lowly lamb. But he's not the meek and lowly lamb anymore. Nobody is going to lay a hand on him in an evil way. Nobody's going to spit on him anymore. Nobody's going to slap him in the face anymore because he has conquered death. Amen. He is sitting on his throne, reigning and making intercession for us. Man, there's so many things to be thankful for. Heaven's a wonderful place and we get to go there. We get to enjoy it with him. Why not try to enjoy some of that now? Enjoy the kingdom now. Well, first step. I guess not so much first step. But it's one of the steps is put on. Because there's things that we need to put on in the scripture. But there's also some things that we need to put off. If you're going to put on. See, I don't know if anybody, there might be somebody in here, but you know, the stuff that you went to bed in and slept in, well, we tell the kids to go get their jammies on. I know you didn't put on your church clothes on top of your jammies and came in. There's some things you got to put off before you can put on. So what are those things that we need to put off? Well, let's say, just for the interest of time, we'll stay in Colossians chapter 3.
You know, it starts off in verse 1. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That's very important for us as a first step, is to set our affection on things above. Remember, those promises we have, keep those in memory. Keep those fresh in our mind. Because it says, in verse 5, it says, mortify therefore the members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, ineffection, evil, concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For of these things' sake, the wrath of God cometh unto the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. We've all got a past. There's all times that we can think in our life where we have gone wrong, gone astray, things that we haven't done quite right. But he says, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new. So we need to be putting off the old man. What is the old man? That old sin nature. You know, like I said earlier, are we going to be a church? What kind of a sinner are we going to be? Are we going to be an active sinner? Are we going to be actively angry and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication? Or are we going to be an active sinner in repentance and try to put on these good things? And I tell you, if you don't put these things off, it's hard to put the other things on. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 10. Remember earlier we read that scripture that says, and above all these things, put on charity. And charity is that love in action. And then in Romans chapter 13, verse 10, Paul writes, said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. You remember I started. We don't want to be the frozen chosen, right? No, we need to be the active church. We need to be actively shining. He says, now it is high time. What's high time? It's now, right? It's time before it's too late. It's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Every day you wake up, one thing you could say is, my salvation is nearer today than it was yesterday. What a wonderful prospect to be thinking about. And then it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness or clamoring or wantonness, not in strife and in envy. Those are the things we need to be putting off. Verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Putting these things off and putting Christ on. I tell you, the more we think about Him, the more we keep our mind solely on Him. Remember, setting our affection on things above, putting off of these old things, putting off the old man, put on the new, and adore ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. That armor of light. I tell you, there's so many other things that we could be putting on. We can go to Ephesians and talk about the armor of God. And the whole message of the armor of God is to put it on. If we don't put it on, it's not going to do us any good. Just like the bowels of mercy, just like the kindness, just like all these other things that we've been talking about. If we're not putting them on, they're not going to do us any good. We can talk a really good game, but until we put boots on the ground, until we start putting our actions forward, until we start moving forward. And that's another thing about the armor of God I love so much. It's all for the front. Nothing for the back. Why? Because God has our back when we're facing the battle. The time we get hit in the back is when we've turned away and ran. Move forward. Always abounding in the kingdom. The best way to do that is by putting these things on. But remember, the old man, the old deeds, the old things, let's put those off. Start our day by putting the old things off and adorning ourselves. And at verse 14, it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love to think about that. That I could adorn myself. Again, as the elect of God. It's almost like my uniform. I could put that on and be identified as one of His. So may we all have the mindset of putting off the old man and putting on the new and being identified as the elect of God. May the Lord bless you.